up, baby? It's your boy, Mike Carrozza, a.k.a. Mark Carbonza, and you're listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only Magic the Gathering podcast on the internet and also in my room. Also in my... What am I doing with this intro? This is already off the rails.
Talk about other things in your room.
Also in my room is this can of Monster Energy drink and a whole bunch of Magic cards that I have to sort because I did pre-releases this weekend. And then there's this water bottle and Arakdos the Muscle playmat and a picture of my girlfriend.
Wait a minute, you just said the same thing twice.
Arakdos the Muscle is my girlfriend. She can lift. That voice you're hearing is one of my co-hosts, the sweet, 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 sweet boy on the other end of this office that we share in two different countries, Michael Solani, Games Freak SA, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I actually went and played Magic the Gathering this week.
What game is that?
I don't know. It's some sort of card game for dorks.
And before we get too far into that, our other co-host is also on the line, producer and super genius Morgan Sanchez.
I'm just here for the math. I'm here to make sure that everybody gets the science down correct. You guys can have fun with the card game stuff.
Sure. You're right. Thank you very much. That's what we plan on doing. Wait, so it's a game for dorks? I'm just learning this for the first time.
Yeah, it's for nerds, for dweebs.
It's one of those takes okay, one to know one dweebs. Things, so that's why I leave it to you guys in this kind of scenario.
Genuinely use the laptop bag I got from Chicago. I'm referring to the event, not the city. The event takes place in Chicago, but there was also
the event that took place.
You get
there.
It. Like, city I'm using the laptop. I don't even get a laptop. No, it was at Minneapolis I got it. I don't know. All American cities are the same.
Uh-oh, Michael, stepping on some weird territory.
Racist.
No, it's legitimately true. Have you ever, like, seen pictures of, like, a bunch of American cities together? They all look like each other. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's just because you're looking at where they have all the Olive Gardens, buddy. It's very different if you don't focus on Olive Gardens.
There's
I would focus on Olive Garden.
There's like a fast food booster fun thing that happens in America. So like all the cities are generally the same, but like depending on where you're at, one of them has the Olive Garden. They all have McDonald's. McDonald's is like the five commons that you get. Olive Garden is
like...
Yeah,
but in Florida you get Zaxby's,
yeah, and that's
right?
Like the Surge Foil, like, you know, fast food place. So American booster fun, that's how it works. The differentiator is what's in the pack.
I was going that's up fun. To Michigan... And I went to a Quick Trip for the first time, and I'm like, holy this is a 7-Eleven that's actually good.
Can we maybe stop cursing so much so that Ken doesn't
have
to
put the
podcast?
No, they have 7 types of coffee. You could get so many different types of goddamn coffee at the Quick Trip.
Michael.
7-Eleven is my favorite commander, okay? I don't want to talk no garbage about 7-Eleven because 7-Eleven rules. Quick Trip? Not very great. Better snacks, maybe debatable, but who needs seven different kinds of coffee?
Is there any creature that has a 7-Eleven stat line?
You're gonna have to look it up. I remember that being a big part of like I remember why I remember. So I don't want to talk about that right now.
I remember. Let's not.
I don't want to talk about that.
Uh-oh.
Let's not. Anyway, I don't want to get into this. How do they let this episode already get so far ahead and so far behind and off track already? This is insane.
Like this is what happens every episode.
It doesn't happen every episode.
Mikey,
it happens sparingly.
This is the pattern. This is the rule, not the exception.
Next, you're going to be saying, I can't call you Mark Carbonza because people will get confused when that's your real name.
So that's not my real name is Mike Carrozza. Okay, here, look. People do still write into amithebolus@gmail.com for my column, Am I the Bolus, on Commander's Herald, the same site that Michael has his column, How They Brew It, on, and the site that Morgan edits, you know. But people still write into the email, amithebolus@gmail.com, for stories for me to cover in the column. And some people just genuinely don't know that my name isn't Mark. And so, or they'll be like, Mike or Mark, or I'm not sure, actually. Can you tell me what it is? And I have to sign the email, not jokingly.
Merc.
Yeah, Merc with an I. Is that what you're going for?
I mean, is there another?
Merc Wormwood. That's your new name.
Ugh, God. Anyway, point is, it's been a crazy week.
I agree,
Merc. Get out of here. I did two pre-releases this weekend. This is coming out in, like, straight up 2-3 weeks, so you this won't be as concurrent, but yeah, so I did two pre-releases of Outlaws of Thunder Junction, and let me tell you something, I 3-0'd for the first time in a long time. I demolished one of these pre-releases, and that in no small part is thanks to the new Oko. That card is cracked in limited. What a wild time. That thing could turn into your best thing on board and smack with hexproof and then still draw you cards or make you an elk. Anyway, that's what I got. That was what an insane. The set is so much fun. Did either of you get to play Outlaws of Thunder Junction at all? Any new cards come into your hands and get in the decks?
You ever get this scenario where you're like playing in a pre-release or a sealed event and the other person across from you like clearly does not know what they're doing, or they're very clearly like new, so you have to figure out what you're gonna do regarding that? It's hard, man.
It's like a challenge because you think they're going to play in a certain way and then they don't. They just like fake you out, right? Because you think like, oh, this is the optimal player. This is obviously what they're going to do because they, and then they just out of left field and you just get smacked. You just, your whole entire turn.
You can't,
whatever your response is, you're just like, oh my, like, what have you done? Like, this is actually brilliant.
I feel like I got the opposite end of that, which is I played against this guy. The whole reason I went 2-2 instead of 3-1 at one of the pre-releases is because one of these guys was like, basically, like, I had to read his cards to him a lot of the times because he would play them and I'd be like, that's not how this works. That's not how this works. And so he'd like take back not like half the things he would do in the game. And then the one time where I was like, oh, I wasn't paying attention to my lands. Like, I wouldn't have tapped so that I have two red sources instead of like one red, one black. And I had exiled Drew Vile Smasher, and I was like, this is the game if I draw this and I get to play it, basically. And I was like, oh man, I would have never tapped like this. I mean, this is just a mistake. And he was like, oh yeah, that sucks, huh? Okay, so you can't cast that. And I was like, oh, really? But you could cast Tyrant Scorn on my 4-drop and then just put it back to your hand instead of being like, bounce it to your hand and I get the sick ETB again. Anyway, it was just so frustrating. This guy was like not brand new, but he was like new to reading, I guess, in the way that he was like reading these cards.
Newly literate? Is that the line you're going with?
No, I mean, he was new to reading these cards the for the very first time. I want to say that, like, I let him take back so many things to the point where I lost the second game we played together, and we went to the third game, and I let him take back 3 moves, and then the one time when I'm sitting on 7 mana, why would I not leave up 2 different colored mana symbols in my lands, you know what I mean? And instead he's like, yeah, sucks to suck. Anyway, you can't cast that card you got off that Wolverine. I'm going to play this silly thing next. And anyway, I was steamed.
There's this one time I was playing, I think it was Wilds of Eldraine pre-release. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the good Eldraine set.
Mm.
And I was playing against, I think he was a high schooler. Feels like he was a high schooler, right? And, you know, I think we were getting close to turns, and he was able to kill me in 2 turns. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting on all these creatures that can't block, the rats that can't block.
Sure.
I'm like, well, you know, I can't kill you on the crackback. Why don't you just, like, swig out everything at me? Which is a lie. I lied to this man, you know?
Why would you lie to this child? This is a high schooler?
I think he was a high schooler. I mean, he was definitely younger than me. But, you know, there were cards in my deck that could give me an out if he was not smart about leaving up a blocker, right? So I was like, yeah, you might as well swing with all of your creatures. And he does. And this is a choice that this person made himself.
No, this was a choice that a child trusted in an adult, buddy. Come on now.
That's a bolus move. Know,
why would you listen to your opponent in a limited game?
It's a pre-release.
Yeah.
But welcome to the game, buddy. This is the best way to learn how to play.
And you learn how to play by getting schooled by listening to the person who has an active interest in you losing the game.
It wasn't even a bluff. It was full on just coercion based on trust.
Look, Merc.
Michael.
I know that I was in the wrong here. I know that I was in the wrong here, but your insistent rebuttal against my obvious jackassery has me on the defensive now. So I have to protect my own, you know, my own ego.
Oh, God.
This is why you get people. This is why you get people who are clearly the bolus writing into Am I the Bolus?
I mean, so that's what we need.
I just
more
need some validation, you know,
that you're the bad guy. You're not like that guy that wrote in twice. And I was like, yeah, you're bad. Please stop. At least there's that. But I am telling you, don't do that. Look, it's one thing to bluff somebody that you can like definitely say that you're playing against on all cylinders. Like, that's one thing. Like, I'll say there was this shop I used to go to more often where these two brothers, this one kid was like 14 and his brother was like 8, and an 8-year-old was just really bad. And I'd play against him and I'd kind of coach him through some moves and I'd be like, look, it's, you know, it is what it is, but like, what are we doing here? Like,
yeah, it's hard to play against like an 8-year-old.
It's hard to play against kids.
Right?
Yeah, because, it's like, not easy.
You feel like you could obviously defeat an 8-year-old.
Right.
In gladiatorial combat.
If you committed a crime.
But also in Magic.
I mean,
but
like,
also
here's
in
the
Magic
thing.
The Gathering, you've got 20 years on him. You're just smarter as a person, right? So what are you supposed to do?
Don't
just
go
like,
that far.
Bro? Well,
I am, at least, but it's just like, I'll tell the kid, you know, like, here's, hey, why are you playing that right now? Like, he's like, oh, I have it in my hand. And I'll be like, okay.
A very valid reason.
That's a reason. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, I don't know, it looked cool. It's like, do you know what it does? You know what I mean? Like, you actually can't target anything with this card right now. That's the kind of stuff where it's like, I'm not about to be like, oh, judge on this child.
No.
But then, you know.
But it's a deeply uncomfortable experience.
Right, but his older brother is like has been playing for longer and he's like 14, 15, and this guy gets sweaty, you know what I mean? So am I pulling punches against this friggin' 15-year-old who fancies himself a genius? Nah, I'll play him for real. Like, I'm not worried about that, but I'm also not about to bluff a 15-year-old.
Does
you know
it get better if he had ridiculous pulls?
No, it doesn't. We're talking about a child here, Michael. I'm not about to prey on the naivety of a freaking child, dude.
I'm gonna get fucking raked over the coals after this.
Woof.
Quit cursing. We gotta stop making Ken have to bleep stuff. God damn it. Anyway, point is, if we're talking about somebody, look, I'll do the pen trick to somebody I know has been playing Magic for a longer time than friggin' 15-year-old who's been at it for 2 years.
I don't even know he was 15, you know?
I don't even know. Point is, What a move, Michael. What are we starting with? I thought Morgan had something fun to start the episode.
Is this how we're going to
start? Right now you are. I thought Morgan had something fun that we'd be able to do right away, but instead I think I hear... do we hear the lines?
While pre-release reminiscing has been going on, I've been staring at a blinking light in between my eyes moving back to Oko's chest.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been committing my own crime, my own sin.
Thought crimes are crimes.
In not answering this phone call.
Lust. Winston Smith.
That's right.
Okay. Well, let's get to this call. Let's see who's on the line. Let's check it out. We'll be right back after this phone call with our caller calling in. It's call time. Caller on the line, identify yourself. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Mr. Carbonza. This is Jake Brown, first time, long time. And I have a huge potential bolus situation on my hands here.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Jake Brown, Uncle Cardboard, my sweet, sweet boy. Calling in to check in how Papa's doing at work. How you doing, buddy?
Also, I forgot. I apologize. I forgot Mr. Carbonza is your dad's name.
Yeah, that's right. That's how that works. Mark Carbonza's my father. Please call me literally anything else. Jake, you are a limited player. You're an absolute beast when it comes to limited gaming. And you love a goofier deck when it comes to Commander. I love playing Commander with you. I can't possibly think of an instance wherein you were the bolus, but it's your time to tell me why you're calling.
Okay, so as a competitive player, there's something called the 110 rule, right? And it's if you're a minute late, That's a game loss. If you're 10 minutes late, that's another game loss, which equals a match loss.
Mm-hmm.
I am so frustrated with what I feel like is the average Commander player's disrespect for three other people's time. That at one point, I started keeping a secret clock of how long everyone's turn actions took.
Audience, if the video ever gets released, you'll see that I feigned surprise, but I knew about this.
And then at the end of the league, just calculated what percentage of game time people were taking, mm-hmm. and sent it to the moderator of the league.
You am sent I the over a report card. I would say, yeah. That's a crazy thing to do. Is it like villainous? Villainous? I don't know. Is it wild? Absolutely. Nut bar city over. Is Denver full of nut bars? That's wild.
I need Michael and Morgan to vote on this as well. But I mean, if you've already condemned me to the gallows.
I give a bunch of opinions in this part. Don't have to worry about that. I'll get to a more informed position later. But okay, so you kept time. How long was this league put together? What was it? What was it over the time? Oh, like what was the course of the period of which the league was happening?
Let's just, so I'm not so self-incriminating, just say like it's a weekly league that happened for a number of weeks.
Got it.
So you play once a week, and there were a variety of themes. I'm gonna narc on my own butt.
I know we don't swear.
Can I say narc on my own butt?
Yeah, you can bleep butt, please. But then more don't bleep me saying Ken. It.
It's great.
It's so much. Okay, but hold on a second. Was this one of those cases where like you had the first game and you're like, damn, this guy's taking forever, and then you started keeping track? Or was this like, I'm going into this league with a curiosity? My experience is that this is something that we can maybe work on as a community. Let me start keeping track of things and seeing what data comes up.
Okay, so you know what? I love Australian TV. I wasn't doing it from day dot.
Yeah, Jake and I text about Married at First Sight Australia, the best reality TV show. I challenge you to find a better one. You won't be able to. Period.
No, absolutely not. So I didn't come into it with that intention. But like, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
When you mulligan,
yes.
how do you take a mulligan usually in Commander?
Okay, in Commander, I draw my seven cards. I look to see if I have enough lands to, first of all, play anything.
I don't need to know the process of how you determine what a good hand is. I'm sorry. I was too vague in my question.
Okay, you were.
What does the mechanics of taking a mulligan look like for you?
Okay, you draw seven, you look at him, you decide yes or no. You keep or you mulligan. I mulligan, I shuffle my deck, and then I take another seven, and then if I keep, I put one card at the bottom.
Okay. Now, when you're shuffling, do you do it like you're peeling a dozen hard-boiled eggs?
Well, that's just a preference, just really, where I like to peel. No, not at all. No, I shuffle like I'm excited to get the game going, so I'm shuffling my deck like I normally would.
I feel like people treat it like they're randomizing Powerball or whatever. Do you guys have the lottery in Canada?
Yeah, we have a lottery, singular. It's the one where we die. No, I'm kidding. We have plenty. we have lotto tickets. Yeah, it's the lot. Shirley Jackson's the lottery. No, we have many lotteries. $6.49 in Quebec, baby.
Hey.
Did I win it? Well, we'll see in 6 months. Okay, go ahead.
You won't be doing this podcast if gone.
A labor of love, baby. I keep doing the things I love. Shout out, amen, to all the listeners. I do love you very much. Thank you so much.
More than his lottery win.
Here's the thing. Like, by Magic's rules, they're doing everything perfectly correctly. By Optimus, in terms of optimized play, in terms of like following the rules, hey, you can't be mad at them for that. But It does make you want to play. I know, but it makes you not want to play with somebody much. If you're like, hey, this hour-long game took an hour and 45 minutes because, you know, I'm using Chris as an example here, but it's not necessarily always him. But like, you know.
Hi, Chris.
You know, if an hour-long game ends up being an hour and a half because somebody's in the tank over, like, responding to a trigger, and it's just like, I hold priority, I need to, and does, like, all the calculations, while the rest of the table is like, hey, he revealed a, somebody
you
else.
Perfect information.
Somebody revealed a counterspell, and another person revealed a stifle, and he's got the win on the table, and we're ready to scoop it up once it happens. And he's like, no, I think I can do this. And it goes for a while. And then he's like, okay, no response. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Or they go, okay, I think I got it. And then does a thing. And then somebody at the table is like, okay, in response, I play the thing that I warned you about 20 minutes ago. And he's like, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. And you're like, yeah, you would have thought of that if you heard us reveal the information. That kind of thing is very frustrating because then, but what's fun about it is then we get to like pile on and call that guy a ding dong and be like, hey, don't worry about it. Now you go get us, pizzas from the kitchen. You know,
do you think I think that what you just laid out hits on a couple things, which is that what I want people to do is think about their plays before their turn.
Thank you.
What I think sometimes people do is that they can't operate in a world where they're thinking about their turn and processing what's going on. So the obvious information, the free information, the known game state for everybody else becomes kind of lost for them because they can't process two things at times, at a time. So what do you do with that?
That sounds tough, though.
That's where I'm conflicted is like, for me, I'm used to having to process what's going on with my opponents at the same time as figuring out my own game plan. And I feel like some people just cannot do that. And that's maybe not a fault of theirs.
Especially considering we have four decks at a table.
Right.
Like, that doesn't help. Like, and it's a very complicated board state for the most part. Especially, look, the Magic I like to play, Battle Cruisey, 100% a Battle Cruise guy. Love a game with a lot of permanence, just hanging out, affecting the entire game, like, in such a large way. That's my favorite kind of Magic to play, is that it does get complicated, and it does require all of us to kind of, like, you know, follow each other's stuff and to kind of maybe work it out together. It becomes a little collaborative in trying to stop one thing, or collaborative in being like, I want to play the best version of this game, so even if you're all banding against me, I will be pointing out some things, not being like, oh, I'm smarter than everybody at the table. No, it's kind of like, this is part of the experience. This is the thing I love. I love this game because of how complicated it can get.
Mike, you just described exactly what I love, which is when a game of Commander feels like a D&D campaign.
Hell yeah.
Where it's kind of like, okay, we just one player at the table is kind of the DM right now.
Yeah.
And we're all just going to kind of share information and talk about like what's going on. That is fundamentally like, I think one of the better experiences that you can have in the game, because if you are, you know, the quote unquote DM in that situation, you put yourself there. You did that. three different people didn't collaborate.
My deck made this happen, and now I'm watching them kind of scramble, and like it's a fun experience, and then it's like you can get in on it too, and that's also fun. I think the example that I gave before with Chris, again, it's not Chris, but it's easier to say Chris.
Hi, Chris.
The example of being in the tank, like I'm in the tank on this play, and it's hidden information for the rest of the table. The information that the whole table shares is basically like, there's no way out of this because no matter what, the response would have to be literally one card and it's not in your deck's color identity. So you don't have it. So like, it's one of those things where like, if somebody gets in the tank that hard and it's like, this is a fun experience for them where they're like, if I need to try to figure out this puzzle, like those old Duelist magazines or whatever, where they had those puzzles at the back.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Love that. Commander's Herald started doing a couple again, and that's fun. I love it. But the I'll say, like, if somebody gets in the tank and they're like, this is interesting for me, like, to theorize about it, it's like, hey, let us in, because we've already solved it for you. We've solved this for you. We can say,
let,
like,
us in.
Hi, this is already done. Either we, like, tell us that you agree and then ask us to lay our stuff down so you can try to, like, theorize it to unlock it.
Sure, this isn't a Saw movie. You're not locked alone in a room and the rest of us die if you can't figure it out. We're all in the room together. I've never seen Saw, by the way. Is that how it works?
No, it's pretty different. It's messed up. Okay, I love Saw so much. They're my favorite.
How many extra games would you have had in your life if somebody had just won? Right? Like, the game that should have been like 45 to 60, but instead went an hour 45. It's just like, wouldn't you rather have two, like, quality games where maybe, like, three quarters of the people got to go off and do their thing? But, like, over the course of two games, you're doing that more. I'm not talking about CDH. Where
No. CDH should be turn
two
three,
turns
it's
and we
over.
Shuffle up again.
Yeah, and I'm happy with that.
I'm not talking about that. I
love
want
CDH
that.
And all the people that love CDH. Good for you. I'm going to try CDH in Chicago, or I have tried it, and it rips. I'm going to give it a go.
Who knows?
But I'm bad at it, and I'd like to try it some more, but it isn't like what I come to the game for. But here's an important distinction. Every bolus conversation, and this is why it makes sense and also doesn't make sense as a column, as a podcast. I'm going to contradict myself a lot because I'm a human being, and guess what? Vibes are everything. Okay. if you're saying wouldn't it be better if the game was just ended and we get another game in, hey, that depends on the vibe of that first game. Was somebody like this close from getting their thing to happen and it would have been like really cool if it did, and they'd been like talking about the game like 4 months or whatever, and they're like, finally got this deck all sorted out. All I want to do is play this one janky thing. Like, okay, cool. Like, let that happen. Or, you know, when they're that close, I feel like a little bit bad about that. I'd love to see that happen. But if somebody's like, I got the win, you're like, okay, cool. Was it a fun win? Was it a cool win? Or did you like Kiki Jiki Zealous Conscripts?
Oh, I love that. Great. Okay, great. Because that's not like I guess my issue is that, like, that is a communication thing, right?
Sure.
That if you're playing with jerks or people that are maybe not even jerks, but just misaligned with what your goals are for the game, then
that's a better way
to
put it. Yeah.
But you want something different than the Kiki Jiki Conscripts player. But at the point where I have, like, I have the win, this is almost like Rachel's episode where it's pulling punches.
Pulling punches.
Like, if you have the win, and I highly recommend going back to listen to that. But, like,
came
wasting
out January
everybody's
30th,
time,
in case you're wondering, it's out there
exactly. I like don't waste people's time. Like, for me, the most egregious thing that you can do with a game is playing with your food, right?
Okay.
That somebody like kind of like, so this is another part of like where the clock came up is like, you're playing Enchantress, and like you've clearly got just like everybody. Everybody owned on the table, and you're just like, well, I'm gonna cast you know, like my extra draw creature, and then I'm gonna just play like a 1 minute cantrip, and I'm gonna really think about how I order my stack so that I make sure I get the most optimal draw. And it's like, I get that you are doing your thing right now, but you are doing a very highly specific thing with a ton of game actions when you have kind of the win on board already, like that. That again, it just comes down to like, maybe we're not trying to jam a ton of games, but at the point where you are playing solitaire with yourself for the sake of learning your deck maybe a little bit better or showing how cool you are, like,
and guess what? It's fair to say the game's over and then keep doing it. You know, like,
I love that. Show me how far you can go off while I shuffle up or grab another deck.
There we go.
If this is what you want to do, you want to prove how big you can make a Memnite, go for it.
I'll say I had an interesting scenario that this reminded me of. I was playing at an LGS nearby, and shout out to Coin du Jeu in Lachenaie in near Montreal.
Bless you.
Right, it is pretty fun to say Lachenaie Anyway, shout out to Le Coin du Jour out in Lachenay. You said it again. And I was playing a game with these guys. I was playing my Mike and Will Stranger Things twin guys, the brothers, but Othelm and Wernog. And that deck is like basically sacrifice Will as many times as I possibly can, get him back as many times as I can to make either a bunch of clue tokens or drain you of one life. And after a certain amount of time, they stop letting him drain life. And I just get a ton of clue tokens and then I have to dig. And so what happened was I had a massive board. I'm talking like 40 permanents in play plus token permanents. And I was
you had an incognito board.
I basically was like, guys, control the win shift is here. Exactly. The whole thing, I was like, hey, guys, I have it somewhere in here. All I have to do is draw like one of two cards that are left in my deck. And then it's like it's done. And I have like 20 cards left. Like, what do you want me to play it out? And they're like, yes. And I was like, cool. All right. And so I did, and I made a bunch of clue tokens, and then Disciple of the Vault and Agent of the Iron Throne ended up taking care of the rest. But like, it was one of those games where I was like, I'm fine to, like, I realize how long I've taken here. I'm fine with letting you know that I think I've got this. Do you think you have anything to stop it? They're like, play it out. And I was like, okay. And then they were like, we didn't have anything. We were just like,
You biffed it and no take backs. And it's just like, what are we all doing with our time at that point? Right. Like, did you want to see because how I lost?
Like, yeah, exactly. You mentioned playing with your food, which I'll say there are some instances where like it's ridiculous, but some instances where I'm like, you know what? Some people have a rule, right? So I played against a deck where every card looks to the left.
Ooh.
Shout out to Gunner, Commander Sealed. Plays every Anichthia of the Old Ways. Every card in the deck that has a face looks to the left, which means that every creature, which the whole deck is creatures and lands, everything that attacks is going to be attacking to the left, which means that whoever's there goes to the left. And the idea is like, if that person has the win on board to overwhelmingly take out the whole table.
It's happening, baby.
Well, that does that
to the person to the left.
Right. It's only going to the person to the left. They can end it that turn, the whole game, but they have the rule of the deck. It's to the left. Only one person's getting these creatures. And then the next turn they get to the left again. Next person in line. I can get behind that, though it does kind of feel like you're playing with your food, right? But that's something that is introduced as an expectation. Example, I have my Anya Falcon Wrath deck where everybody discards stuff. I make everybody discard things. I discard things. I play Turgrid, God of Fright, in that deck. Turgrid says that if an opponent discards a permanent or sacrifices a permanent, I get control of it.
This is Mike's Turgrid corner.
But I say, I don't want to take your stuff that you sacrificed because it's a discard deck. I've made that rule for myself. I'm not taking anything you sacrifice.
Do you play that as like an emblem? I want to make you an emblem.
Yeah, do it. Honestly.
Mike Carbonza says, and it's
I'll take
a pizza
a Sharpie
box.
Onto my, yeah. Okay, actually, you know what? I'll take the pizza box emblem more than I'll take the Sharpie on my sleeve.
Yeah, no, it's a little tiny pizza box, and it kind of looks like the old, what was the Adult Swim? I've fully lost the thread now.
Which?
But yeah, I think house rules are the best way to enforce
it's
time
fun.
Because
it's
then it
fun.
Creates an expectation. Like, yes. I've heard people say before, like, hey, listen, 1 hour into a game, board wipes are just targeted removal, or board wipes cycle for two, whatever it is.
We've done this. We played this game with Dan before, our good pal Dan Sheehan. We've done that.
Yep. Yeah. I come back to, I think every game needs a timer on board. I think having life totals in the middle is cute, but what we really need is a big old clock that maybe changes colors. And when it hits an hour, ooh, it turns red. And when it turns, if you hit an hour and a half, it blinks red. And
I like the timer thing. I think Game Nights does it right. Game Nights does it so right because everybody's got the time that they get there. It is there. You have this amount of time to figure it out. And if you go too deep on the tank and you got 3 minutes left and you think, well, I got this win, I just got to figure it out, I've got 30 cards in hand. Hey, buddy, better learn to read quicker because you're about to lose. I sincerely think that that's the right way. I think what it comes down to it is, like, in your case, what did, I mean, I don't know how much you could tell on yourself here, but what did it accomplish to send that information to, like, was
literally
the,
nothing.
Okay.
Absolutely nothing, Mike. It accomplished nothing. It was petty. Nothing happened as a result. Yeah. I knew nothing could happen.
Okay.
It was absolute. Maybe
it's something
one man's
that, like,
frustration.
I get that then, but also, like, I've sent complaints into something and then they're like, oh yeah, that's an angle I haven't considered, and now we have to implement that, right? So maybe next time the league runs, they're like, hey, for time, we're gonna use, again, the game night's clock is coming up, but, like, you know what I mean?
I feel like the game night's clock is too intense. Like, I'm not in favor of, like, I just
like
think
a,
it's
like a chess good, clock.
Maybe it's just good for people to be cognizant of it with no enforcement. And so if you are consistently seeing, like, do it for yourself and be like, have a fearless personal inventory about it, where if you're constantly the person that is 5-10 minutes over everybody else, just think about if you were at a restaurant and you were all waiting to order dinner and you were the person that took 5-10 minutes more, and sit for 5 minutes in silence and really think about how long that is. Just sit in that silence and stew, because 5 minutes of silence is a long time.
It's a long time. You know how I know that? I used to host an open mic where comics got 3 minutes. And 3 minutes of bombing is like 30 minutes of silence. I'll tell you that much. And that feels longer when you're not having a good time. So, yeah, absolutely. That's a fair point. Putting that into perspective like that, huh? All right. Well, God. Okay. Are you... Here's the thing. Putting it aside for yourself is like, I'm curious about this. And you're like, maybe you're using it as a metric to see how long am I taking compared to these other people? And you're like, I'm fine with how I'm doing. I'm fine how they're doing. Maybe this is going to inform how much time I'm going to spend playing against these other people. That's something to consider for yourself. But being like, hey, game organizer, get a load of these stats. Anyway.
Wait. Tattling is never good.
I mean, calling it tattling, not great. Reporting some that's fine. If it's everything's a gray area. Everything's vibes. This show is not going to be definitive answers. We vote because we have to. It is a weird thing because, like, I think a lot of people listening to this might be a controversial one. A lot of people listening to this are going to be like, I don't know. It's like somebody recording something of you and you're like, I wasn't aware that you were recording. And it's like, it's just their time. Sure, it's the time, but it's something that they now,
if anybody says that, I'll leg wrestle you in the middle of Sixth Avenue. Like, the amount of time I didn't report anybody specifically.
No, for sure.
I just said, like, hey, listen, there was a game that went 2.5 hours long, and oof, one person in that game took 1.5 hours of that in game time.
Okay, well, hold on a second. You got to give us specifics, because this stuff, that's crazy.
But
here's the thing about that, right? If, let's say, going into it with the intention of recording time, like, I'm doing this for every one of my games. Okay, fair. If you're like, I've played against this guy before, and I'm going to get empirical true, like, evidence on this, like, at least if it's a matter of, like, making yourself not feel crazy about it, then I could get behind that too. But if it's like, I'm going to use this to shame his ass, that's like, oh boy, that's not really fun. And you know what else? Here's, if I'm playing a game and I'm like, this guy takes an awful amount of time, and I start recording based on the fact that this guy's taking an awful amount of time, then that's also kind of interesting. Like, I can't get mad at that. If you're watching a stream and you go back to it, you're like, I think he took all this time, and you're rewatching the stream and calculating based on evidence there. It might be petty, but that's, like, out there. You know what I mean?
I do have those stats for a lot of popular EDH shows.
Hell yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. They're all edited down to the point where they're,
I know, right?
Trust me, there's so much tank that you never see.
We've covered it up top, but where do you want people to check you out? What do you want people to look at?
Honestly, I've been doing a bunch of limited and competitive Magic content for a while at Fake Jake Brown on Twitter, but I'm really excited. I have a new project where I listen to every artist that's on Bottaroo this year. If you look at major festival lineups and you're like, I don't understand music anymore. Well, good news. I have Bonnaroo, where I spend 60 seconds a day just like telling you about a new band that you've never heard. And I think it's really cool to listen to new music. And I have a Spotify playlist called This Is Bonnaroo. And it's really great for putting on in the background of games if you're just hanging out with some friends. Very cool. It's three songs a piece from what will be, that'll be 333 songs.
Nice. But
you get to hear some new music. And you know, what I found, I listen to more podcasts than I probably do music, and same. I've found some like really cool new bands, and that's fun at 41 to be like, I'm finding new music that I really like. So
I love that.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm the same way. Every Friday I look at my Apple Music has recommendations for what I would like on a new playlist. I check them all out. Whatever I like, I go to that album and I download the album. I make sure that I give it a listen on a drive or if I'm working on something. Usually the things I like, though, are like screaming music and the albums are like 10 tracks of 30 seconds a piece. But like that might make it a little bit easier. But I'll say, like, I do miss when podcasts weren't going to get sued for playing some music, because I discovered a lot of great bands by listening to Sklarbro Country, the Sklar Brothers old podcast. Tennis coming back in after, exactly. I used to listen to tennis back in the day when I was like in my mid teens, and then all of a sudden I had no idea Ritual on Repeat was coming out. They played Never Work for Free on the podcast. I was hooked. Do you know how many times I listen to that song to this day, like regularly? Every time we have people over for game night, that song comes up on the playlist and it's always a bop. And you know what I have to thank for that? I have to thank somebody being like, this is cool. I want to show somebody. So make sure you check that out. That's why, you know what? We might not be able to do that on Sklarbro County, but we can do that. And Bonnaroo, check out what Jake's up to. Bonnaroo, Uncle Cardboard's got at Fake Jake Brown. Make sure that's Brown with an E at the end. Make sure you follow him on the socials. Love you all very much. Let's get back to the studio. Check in with Solani and Morgan.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Morgan. You sound like a cool law firm.
It's always nice to hear from a friend. Good old Uncle Cardboard, Jake Brown. Please check him out online. Make sure to check out his Bonnaroo series that he put together. I don't know how far back we'll have to go for that because he did call in the past. Oh boy, the conceit of the podcast is just in the air, huh? The fabric of time is just shredded to pieces anytime we record these bookends to the interviews I've done months ago. Point is, welcome back to the other side of the phone call that we had in this very moment at the same time. Check out Uncle Cardboard, at Uncle Cardboard, at Fake Jake Brown on Twitter, and check out his limited content. He's a very talented drafter. He's always someone that I turn to when I don't understand a format, and he gives me a lot of great insights. I enjoy draft a lot more now that I've gotten to have like these conversations with him, and I've got this new appreciation for it. So please, get into it. Draft is such a fun time. Limited is a great environment. It's not all about Commander, although this new set is packed with legends. Anyway, before we get into talking about the call, I feel like, how do we feel about what we talked about before?
I really feel like I shouldn't have told that story.
I mean, I feel like you shouldn't have really done that, but it's also not a problem that you did. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's fair that we're also the bolus sometimes. You know what I mean? We're not perfect angels.
Mike, confess all your sins right now.
All right, here I go. I grew this mustache out of spite. Let's see. What else have I done bad? I'm actually a pretty good guy.
Not to toot my own horn.
I used to litter a lot when I was younger. How about that? I was a litter guy. I was a
litter
bug. Was
that when you were 15 or when you were 8?
When I was 8.
It's not very Celestia of you.
Well, what are you supposed to do with like Starburst wrappers? Do they have Starburst in Canada? They do, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, it would be like, oh, my cousin's driving, and I'd open the car window and toss out whatever drink I had in my hand. He'd be like, stop doing that. And I'd be like, it's funny that you're mad at me. You know what I mean?
Were you tossing them onto other cars? Because that would be funny.
No, I wouldn't go that far, but I did, you know, nobody's perfect. I do think, again, when it comes to the game, I do what Jake's talking about sometimes. We even talk about it on the phone call, which is like, yeah, I've got this big deck that does a lot of things all at once. And we talked about this board I had where it's like 40 permanents and cards from my deck plus a bunch of tokens, and I've got to resolve a bunch of triggers and do all that stuff. I'm monopolizing the board and the time. It's totally fair. That's what the deck can do and what it can get to. But like, it sometimes that's where the game leads. And ultimately, if I am taking that time, it is I do try to be cognizant of other people's time and let them know, like, hey, you know, there's an out here. What do you guys think? Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Morgan, the point is we're not perfect, but we are going to judge the stuff that comes up. Hey, welcome to the podcast. The podcast about vibes on the things that we do in the game. How about
context,
that?
Context, you know, matters.
Oh, shut up, Solani. Morgan, Morgan, why don't we, before we get to the question, why don't you tell us how the voting system breaks down?
Okay, it's been a while, you guys, so... I've got my notes here, but I'm going to just...
A full 2 weeks.
A full 2 weeks of me just not looking at any of this math. But the voting system works as thus.
As thus.
As thusly.
As thusly per Solani. Solani and I each get one singular vote, which counts for one. So that means we each have two, get two, it becomes two. And then Carosa together. Yeah, addition equals... two for us.
Yes,
one
addition
two.
Equals two for you. Yes.
I think that's called the product.
Right. That's the answer.
Product
that's what
is
the
a
answer
multiplication
is.
Thing, isn't it? The sum is the addition. Isn't the product the multiplication?
Somewhat.
And Carosa's vote.
Some
counts.
Numbers.
I did my math learning in French and I knew that. Sorry, Ken. Morgan.
French
are
is
numbers
not
different in French?
French is not a real language, which is why Carosa gets three votes. When he decides to vote.
Because you pity my ability to speak a made-up language.
Yeah. So it's really in the interest of handicapping the voting system to a certain extent, because Solani and I know what we're talking about. When Solani and I judge to the point of infinite accuracy, to where any kind of opinion that we're going to have on whether or not somebody's the bolus, scientifically... is proven when we lay out our logic and our reasoning. Whereas Carosa, having grown up with a non-language, especially in terms of, you know, he learned English the wrong way and he learned French in the way that they teach it. We have to give him a little something, get him a little boost. So
okay, so 3 points for my vote and 1 point for each of your votes. Right. That means that we're going to get a total of five split across, bolus or not. So here we go. Let's talk about this. Morgan, hit us with the question. What's Jake really asking?
Jake Brown wants to know, am I the bolus for keeping a secret clock to see how long my opponent's turn actions take?
That's what you're taking away from that, huh?
I mean, I think it's the most important part of this.
I guess that is the...
It's the most interesting part of it.
That is the aggression here,
that's
I suppose.
That's what it all boils down to for me.
Ultimately, I think, Morgan, you did a great job at picking what we're talking about right now. Solani, tell me what your feelings are on this.
I have 100% done the same goddamn thing.
No, you
it's
didn't.
It's hard to talk about our sins, but we got to do it. We got to do it.
What is this, EDH confessional or something?
Let's go.
Oh, my God.
Let's go.
Hold on. I have to tell you this story. The
oh
let's go
God.
Triggered a memory. Yeah, triggered a memory in my... I was at a club, right? And, you know, it was a club... yes, exactly.
Okay, Solani, I'm timing you because you're going to bleed out in about a minute.
Get his ass, Morgan.
That sort of music. And I will... I'm you not. The drop
Don't
for this music... The drop for this club music, this music, yeah, was the sound of Mario falling down a long pit in Super Mario 64.
That's amazing. Like, that's I love that.
That is where the entire climax of the song goes. And I was like
the whole, wah!
Like, yeah, yeah, that. Ken put it in. And like,
thank you, Ken. Thank when Ken, that happened, if you demand something of Ken, thank Ken, Michael.
You already did.
Jeez. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank
anyway,
you.
I at the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, it was just, this is just someone's ringtone, right? It was the second time I heard it in that song that I the club because it completely ruined the vibe for me.
No, that would impress. No, that would be better. That would improve the vibe for me. I like that. That's a DJ with that's having fun.
What were we talking about? Long-winded things that go nowhere.
And you're dead.
No, we were talking about secret clock. Then Morgan.
Solani, you bled out. I'm sorry. I hope your last words were, "What were we talking about again?" And I hope to see you on the other side, my friend.
And you're dead.
I have no idea how to rank this. Like, I feel like it's okay to be annoyed at someone who's taking your time. And I do think that there should be a lot more concessions in EDH games. There's got to be a lot more concessions. Like, I play a lot of chess, and once you're down in chess, like, to the point where you're going to lose, it's polite to concede, right? Like, everyone's just like,
all
right.
Yeah, but that's 1v1. That's one. This is exactly what my article is about this week. Shocker, this came out 3 weeks ago. Four plus weeks, whatever. Am I the Bolus disappearing act? If you're conceding in a four-player game, you got to take into account a couple things. It's totally fair to do it, but you got to make sure you're doing it when it's okay to do it.
But everyone should concede, right? When one game is so clearly in hand for one of the players that it would just be pointless to keep playing, you know? Like,
see, but that's
the story
a problem
that said,
for
like,
me.
You have to play it out, right? When you had the 40 permanents on board or whatever.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Why would you have to play that out when you could clearly win?
So what you're trying to say
that
is
that was ridiculous, but
context matters, and that there should be concessions for time.
Oh, come on!
The vibes are important.
Because
I'll say this as a player who plays Aromi of the Dead Tide and Taysa Opulent Oligarch, those decks get better when there's more than one opponent. Encore counts the opponents you have to reward you for actually paying that encore cost. Taysa gives you a clue for each opponent that lost life at the beginning of your end step. So, like, you know, if I'm playing that deck and, like, we're in a pod with, like, us three and a friend, and I'm like, our friend's got it locked up, and Solani's like, you know what, I think I can't do it anymore, I gotta concede, I'd be like, hey, this ruins my chances so much more. And I feel like I have a chance if I do keep you around. You know what I mean? So that's the part of that gets a little iffy in concession land. But we're not talking about concessions.
It's a deck building challenge. You got to make it so that the bad players can catch up. You got to play Group Hug. Group Hug Arumi.
Jake's also talking about people. Like, I like this idea of shuffling like you're peeling a dozen hard-boiled eggs. I'll admit that's my probably greatest sin, is that I do not shuffle well. I never have. I don't know how to do the cool, like, casino shuffle thing. I'm mashing them together like two potatoes in my hand every time. And like, everybody's looking at me and it'll take me 10 seconds. There are times where I will, like, barely shuffle my deck because I am so concerned that I'll be like, why are you taking so long?
Oh,
and I'm just like, you know. It's good. I don't need lands to play this game. I'm good. We're cooking.
You know what's fun is a good thing that I feel about myself is I've had people feel comfortable enough to ask me to shuffle their deck for them because they're like, hey, I'm bad at shuffling. Do you mind shuffling my deck? And I'll be like, sure thing, I got it. And I'll shuffle their deck for
them. And that's when you get out the plastic playing card shuffler.
See, and my fear is somebody will ask me that and I'll be like, please God, no, I'm leaving. I need to go somewhere.
Sure. But I'll say, like, I don't know, the shuffling like you're peeling a dozen hard-boiled eggs is like you're taking your time. You know what I mean? It's taking forever. Hey, shuffle. It's just shuffle. You don't got to be perfect. Shuffle up, baby.
That leads into like using tutors too, where if you got like 40 of them there and you're just, got to do it again, you know?
Another reason I dislike tutors, but like I said, I only like tutors in special occasions. Like I told you guys, I
like
built
a birthday or Christmas.
Gen, Yeah, I built that exactly. My birthday is the Secret Commander deck I built for myself, the Gen Arcanum Weaver with Three Dog and Ariette as the Secret Commanders. And let me tell you something, I would happily have them in the command zone instead of Gen. Obviously, it's two powerful creatures instead. But I don't care for the tutors. I don't want to be tutoring, but it makes sense because I have a Secret Commander deck. You know what I mean?
I can't be mad at the guy. I don't think he's the bolus.
Wow, interesting. Interesting. I mean, like, it's Morgan, not like do you think?
Hold on. He didn't, like, tell him right after, right?
No, he didn't. He didn't tell anybody. It's not the bolus. He's just telling us.
You can't punish someone for having thoughts.
No, I agree. But
not the bolus.
I'm surprised because I thought this might be something that gets under your skin. That's why I'm saying that. I'm shocked that you're not like, boo.
People need to play faster.
They do. Morgan, what about you, buddy? What do you think?
Well, this one was tough, but I'm going to say I my immediate reaction, it was kind of hard for me to like recover from that. Even it was like, oh yeah, I get it. You know, I agree like to the points of why you would do that. But Jake, mm-hmm. I think you're the bolus because especially if you didn't tell anybody, if I somehow found out that you were timing me,
I see.
I would like run off a cliff. And I would be constantly like judging myself for like, I knew it. I knew I was taking too, cause you're already, I'm already like very much in the of like, I'm taking too, and I'm not maybe right. Like I'm totally overthinking it cause I'm ridiculous. I don't get to play that often. So it's like, I knew it, you know, and that's why he's doing it. And I also think that maybe, it's, you're being the bolus to a certain segment of people who maybe if they saw something like that, it would be a lot worse for them. And it would be like, who is this guy? Like, why are you the gatekeeper of how long my turn should take, regardless of what commander I'm playing or how many tutors I'm running, that kind of thing? Because there's a way to do it where, you know, you're doing things on time and with enough time. But
for sure.
Yep. Jake, you're the bolus.
I think the point that Jake brings up is a good one. I feel like him saying the 1 in 10 rule, which is if you're late 1 minute, that's a game loss. If it's 10 minutes, that's another game loss. Like, it's fair because you're disrespecting your opponent. And now if you're disrespecting other opponents because of time or whatever, even in a casual sense, like the idea is like, let's sit down and play this game. Like, I have my buddy Chris, who I mentioned in the call earlier, and I swear this isn't the rag on Chris episode. I do love Chris, he's a dear friend, but Chris is also somebody who loves to sleep in and shows up to the game day late, and we know that now, but when we planned for it. But like, straight up, when it happened the first couple times, I was like, I never want to see this guy again. I was so mad at it. I want to go back to going to his house to do it, because then at least he'll have to be there, you know. So like, I do think that there's an element of like, we decided on this time, we're all going to sit down and play this game. And now that we're playing this game, let's really be here and play this game. Unless the vibe is like, hey, we're all just breaking our decks and we're going to like have a chat and drink some beers or whatever. Like, that's a different vibe, but we're still playing the game. So play the game. Don't like forget you're playing the game. I like the idea of house rules being helpful there. Like, what we did for a couple games was like, hey, board wipes, no more after like an hour and a half. I think after an hour and a half, we're just kind of like, unless the board wipe means you're winning, please don't do this. You know what I mean? And that's basically what we did, and it went fine, and I like that for us. But it's not going to work for a bunch of playgroups who are like, no, our games go 3 hours because like we want them to go 3 hours. It's like, that's your own playgroup. You do what you want to do. But I do think that like, it's an interesting thing to like know about when I played with Jake when he's timing this stuff, and I didn't know that he was timing it until later. And I'm also not here like, let me see my results or nothing. I don't feel bad about how I played.
You're not a little curious?
No, not at all.
See,
you know
I
why?
Would be, and it would be my downfall. I would be like, okay, but let me see before I run off this cliff.
But that's because I feel secure in my play style. I know what I'm doing. I'm sitting at the commander's table. I'm paying attention to the other decks. I feel aware and excited to like get to my turn and do my actions. I'm planning ahead. I'm seeing the new threat. I'm assessing it. Like, I'm invested in the game and I feel ready when it's my turn. And I feel like that's a cool thing. And that's why personally, I think the motivation behind it is not bolus motivation. But I do think that if Jake took this a step further and was like, here's how everybody plays poorly and slowly, then I'd be like, yeah, that's a bit of a bolus move. I think it's fair to be like, I'm curious how long it actually takes, and maybe prioritizing like, hey, if I'm going to play a game with this guy, I better buckle in for like a game where my turns don't come around as quickly as they should, you know? So I don't know. I think that might even be bolus territory. It's a tough one. It's much tougher. I do think that like we need to be cognizant of each other's time. We need, and I say that knowing that this is the longest phone call we've had. We have to be aware of other people's time. Again, knowing that it's the longest phone call, Ken's going to have to edit the beginning and end of this with us talking so long. I'm so sorry. We're aware, and we're trying to do the podcast. It is what it is. But like,
we should throw in another swear just to make Ken edit a little bit more.
Don't do that. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and say not the bolus, but definitely teetering. We're talking about Jace right before being completed kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like you're getting there.
We love
you're
teeter.
You're an Ashiok. You're a teeter totter over here. But I don't think, officially speaking, not the bolus. I'm giving 2 points to not the bolus and 1 to bolus. That's where I'm at.
Well, I'm kind of stunned that my position won this one. Huh?
Yeah.
I was almost certain you would vote for Bolas.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, you brought up a good point. He's not showing it to people. He's not telling them. He's just, like, curious about it. I think it's fair. You're going into the game. You're timing everybody. It's not malicious. I feel, you know, but then it could.
I mean, it's definitely malicious.
I don't like it.
Don't get me wrong. Mm-mm. Like, at some point, if you're trying to justify in your mind that mm-hmm. these players are, in fact, playing slow. And you're collecting data to that effect, right? Like, the point is kind of malicious.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any harm if no one knows about it. It's a tree fell in the forest sort of thing.
But it's also, like, I don't think he's... Like, obviously, he's not going to disregard the times...
It's Schrodinger's timer, but...
Yeah, I don't think he's going to disregard the times that people are playing fast either. It's like he'll be like, oh, these people are like they don't play as slow as like this other person, or like this game took less time because this one person wasn't taking up all this time. Like, you know, anyway, that's the verdict on this one. Do we have a fun thing to go out on? Morgan, you said you had something surprising. You have a little surprise. We got maybe 5 minutes here. What do you think? You think we can do something cool?
Yeah, let's open the Alliances pack that Jason Alt sent me with some Brainstorm Brewery pints that I did not win in a contest fun. That Brainstorm Brewery had for said pints in like 2012. So now,
oh, nice.
Now that I...
So wait, are the beers 2012? Are they like
they are
12 years old?
They are glasses,
the cups,
like yeah, your pints, like yeah, like the glasses.
I thought you were sent literal alcohol.
That would have been even better. I would have loved that. They would have gone
illegal.
Right above my desk. Yeah. Well,
I guess
yeah,
12-year-old alcohol isn't a death sentence. I mean, you could drink like 12-year-old wine all the
taste
time.
Good. It would not taste good. But so
not for beer. Hey, no,
I'm gonna open
beer
this
doesn't
alliance
taste
pack.
Good in general.
I'm gonna open this alliance pack, and I'm gonna pick. Like 5 cards out of here, and you guys are going to tell me what you would play these cards in.
Let's
if
do
something.
We don't have as much time as I want to have for this, so let's do 3 instead of
sure.
5. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get it. I'm gonna.
Okay,
find...
crack this Alliances pack and open a Force of Will, buddy. Come on.
Nah.
Open a Lake
no
of the
way.
Dead. Force of the Will
like
is terrible.
Uncommon. Right?
Force of the Will.
That's force of the
force
Will.
Force of the Will.
Solani.
Yeah. Force of the Will.
All right.
Yeah, Lake of the Dead is awesome.
Ooh, we got some good ones here. All right, let's get 3. We got a red card, a blue card, and...
Do you have a spicy land in there?
No, we have like a semi-spicy artifact.
Any gold cards?
We have a mana rock.
Feldegriff, maybe?
Nope.
Nice.
We
let's
have...
see.
All right.
Oh,
so first card, blue card, Soldevi okay. Heretic.
Oh
yeah, that one
yeah.
has that one has flying, and when it deals combat damage to a player, they discard a card. Right?
No, nope, that's not it at all.
No.
This is a Soldevi Heretic is a gold card technically, isn't it? It's like one of those Azorius
it's,
with like
is blue casting cost, but has a white tap effect. You need
yeah,
to pay a planes
right.
and tap it to prevent up to 2 damage to any creature. Target opponent may draw a card.
Yeah, this is one of those stupid cards that was like, hey, here's a white effect and then a blue drawback. Very interesting card. Might be useful in a group hug deck.
I know you guys can't see this on the podcast, but this art of Soldevi Heretic looks like a man throwing up the most whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You may or may not have seen this person at the Capitol on January 6th.
You truly?
Oh no, there's two of them. This is back when they were doing two arts.
That's right. There's two arts.
Which one is this? Is this?
This is guy with his hands up art.
Yeah, that's
it is,
the one.
It is camera. Whatever guy.
It's the better. Whatever. It's the better art. What's the next one, Morgan? What else we got?
We've got this is really spicy because this just costs red, and it's Agent of Stromgald, which is a knight that lets you pay red any amount of times to add a black mana to your mana pool.
Yeah, it's a filter guy. I like this one. Is it the one that's standing in the archway or the one that's outside?
There we go.
Outside.
It's the outside. Nice.
Big pimpin'.
Yeah, this is. I mean, I have no idea where I would put this unless it's like whenever there's a thing that's like whenever you activate an ability, do it again. You know what I mean? Like
infinite.
Those never target. Those never work on mana abilities, though. And this is a mana ability.
It's a mana source, yeah. But whatever. Oh, then again, it's like if there are like a mana, like a Nyx Bloom Ancient decks, if you pay one red, you'll get three black, right?
That's
or does that have
good.
To tap for mana?
It's no, not like it doesn't have a tap.
Yeah, oh, okay. It's just, yeah, any amount of mountains.
I don't know why I'd play this. No way, it's a knight for one. I don't care. No,
just
I'm not
play
doing
an
it for
Urborg.
Me. Next one, let's do it.
All right. This is a Celestnia card.
Last one.
This is
last
white,
one.
Green,
oh my.
And two. Nature's Blessing. It's an enchantment.
Oh my god, it's the one that gives banding.
Yes, it's white and green. Choose and discard a card from your hand to have target creature gain banding, first strike, or trample, or get a 1/1 counter.
Oh my, I love that card. I love
Michael
that card so
lit
much.
Up. Michael lit up when Morgan said the friggin' casting cost. Unbelievable.
Hey, it could have been.
Unbelievable.
No, Altar of Bone was an Ice Age, but still.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, look, pretty shocked that we got a Selesnya card out of this, and it made Michael's day, honestly.
Well, we got a Rakdos one, too, in Limduel's Paladin, but I ain't reading all that, so.
No.
Oh,
God,
yeah,
that
one has like a million
looking.
Words on it.
That
Can
has about as many
that
words as
uncommon?
A modern Magic card does.
Get him, Morgan. Yeah, Limduel's Paladin feels like it should be a rare, but it is an uncommon. Are these just all uncommons?
Every card in Alliances is an uncommon, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, good
it's
to
true.
Know.
There's rares.
Shh, hold on. Don't tell.
Okay, well, anyway.
Let him live the dream.
I guess that does it, right? Are we out of here, everybody? What do you think? We calling it? Don't think too hard. Just say an answer.
Maybe.
Oh, my God. Follow us at Am I the Bowlcast on Twitter. Email in at amithebowlist@gmail.com. Find me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza. Catch an all-new Am I the Bowlist article every Wednesday at CommandersHerald.com. Michael Solani, you can find him at GamesFreakSA. That's the letters SA. And you check out GamesFreakSA.info for his website for all projects, including How They Brew It, his column over at CommandersHerald.com. Morgan Sanchez, you can check out online at Indigo Gentleman. And be sure to check out EDH Rec and Commander's Herald, as she is an editor of both. Morgan, Michael, anything I missed there?
That's who I am.
I think we need to have you play that Nature's Blessing in a deck.
Never ever, and good night!